Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's another beautiful day down here in Florida, which, of course, whenever I say that, everybody wants to move to Florida. So, no, don't come down here. It's too crowded. The interstates are already bad enough. But if you want to hang out with us, you can. That's all right. But, you know, just one of those things is just be aware of where you go in Florida. There's all kinds of good areas in the state, like around Chiefland and Perry and south of Tallahassee, that are still relatively rural, and you don't have to deal with the I-4 death corridor. But as far as everything in my life, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. There's some things I want to talk about today, and you know, we could continue talking about this weird, you know, terrorist killing over there this weekend, which now I'm starting to doubt the entire story that we're being told. But let's talk about some other stuff today, because I don't want to get back into that redundancy that we did the last 2 days. Here's a really good article. It says drugs that are being used as puberty blockers in youth have been linked to thousands of deaths in adults, the FDA shows. Now, we've covered this story before. This is for Lupron. But this is what they do when they have transgender children, when they chemically castrate the little boys. This is the same drug that is used for pedophiles when the court orders them to be chemically castrated. And now you think through this with me for a second. We've got little 6 and 7 year old boys now that are being given these types of drugs to prevent them from ever going into puberty, prevent their testicles working properly, to chemically castrate them. This doesn't make any sense to me. And guys, we talked about it earlier this week. I want to say, you know, it doesn't matter what you as a parent think is okay for your child. According to the deep state and the court systems now, if you disagree with your wife and you've got to take it to court, they may order puberty blockers for that child. So we no longer have a country for the people and by the people when we have the judiciary doing things like this and making these types of decisions. I find the whole thing just absolutely nuts. And by the way, the Senate has rejected Rand Paul's efforts to cut spending again. You know, him and his father, Ron Paul, which I think was a true libertarian, I'm not sure about Rand, they have told the country for years and years and years we've got to cut spending, but they don't want to cut spending because, remember, the special interest groups that are greasing the wheels of Washington with the lobbying money continue to push the congressional people to vote these laws and vote the spending programs into place. And they're basically cutting their own throat when they tell you to basically stop doing it because the people stop giving them lobbying money to run for office. This whole system is so broken, guys. It's absolutely amazing to me that it's this bad. Now, on a good news, as far as this, another cardinal, yesterday I talked about a Roman Catholic priest who refused to give Biden communion, well, because he was basically promoting abortion. Another top cardinal has broken with the Pope again over a pagan goddess at the Vatican. Now, why in the world do we have to put a pagan goddess in the Vatican? I have no idea. A top cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church on Friday took exception to Pope Francis' controversial support for display of a pan-Amazonian Pacamana wooden idol on a church altar at the Vatican. Think about this for a second. This is a pagan god. He goes, there isn't any role for a statue of a pagan goddess on the altar, declared Cardinal Gerhard Ludwig Müller. I don't think you get any more German than that. I'm going to say his name again. Gerhard, German. Ludwig, German. Müller, German. I'm going to say it one more time because I like hearing it. Gerhard Ludwig Müller, former Bishop of Regensburg, Germany, and Prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith under Pope Benedict XVI. Müller spoke in Washington, D.C. Friday at a forum hosted by the International Organization of Family and the Sacramental Institute. So I want to give this guy kudos again. And you guys know this. I'll call stuff out, but if I see these people doing stuff correctly, I'm going to call it out too. And I'm really proud of these two priests that are doing this and standing up for what's right. Now back to Minnesota. We now have Somalia gangs who are basically claiming territory and they're killing to defend it. It goes back to what they did when they were in Somalia with their 60 IQs. And you think, well, you can't say they got 60 IQs. Okay, the average IQ of a Somalian is 60. There you go. How do you like that? Is that better? It says, we brought you several stories of the Muslim colonization of America from Florida to Maine to Michigan to Minnesota, many of those settling into Islamic communities in America having anything in mind but assimilation. The latest evidence of this comes from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Muslim capital of the U.S., where Somalian gangs are now claiming territory and young Somalia has now gunned down another young man. Now, this is a media blackout. 8 to 10 Somalian teens in jihad. Representative Ilan Omar's district attacked white people with hammers and metal pipes. In Minnesota, the first Somalian museum on Minneapolis police force convicted of murder. Unbelievable. And so this is what's going on in Minneapolis right now. Minneapolis police were dispatched to the area of 23rd Avenue North and Aldrich Avenue on Friday around 6:25 for a shooting, according to the criminal complaint. Caller told officials they had heard 6 to 8 shots and there was someone on the ground, the complaint states. When the officers arrived, they stopped the vehicle that dispatch told them had the victim in the back. Now remember, this is the same group here up here in Minneapolis that shot that lady who just called up 911 because she heard something in the back alley. She was running out there in her pajamas. The Somalian 60 IQ boy shot across his fellow police officer and killed this woman in the chest, shot her in the chest, killed her. And this is what we have going on now, because these guys are coming from these countries that basically don't have a rule of law. They have nothing. And the sad part about it is, Austin, unless we figure out a way to stop this onslaught, they'll be under Sharia law up there before long. And here's one, another article from D.C. Dirty Laundry. It says, hanging by a thread, this is from David Brockett, the United States is going the way of the former USSR. In order for the Union of States, like the U.S., to remain viable, the cost levied in taxes by the central government must be seen as a fair price for services provided. Restrictions imposed by a central government can't go beyond the authority granted by the Constitution, nor be too burdensome, which they are, that they negatively affect commerce, which they do, or citizens' rights of life, of liberty, pursuit of happiness, which they do. That is the way our nation was designed, a weak central government with limited powers and strong independent states served by the central government. The central government is supposed to serve the states. And then this happened, fiat money. And then when the fiat money started in 1913 and they started doing what they did, guys, remember, one of the primary reasons that we had the Revolutionary War with England was because we started issuing colonial script. We broke away from the Rothschild banking empire and we stopped getting funny money from them and borrowing the money at interest. And we started issuing colonial script. The colonies prospered. Benjamin Franklin talked about this in detail in his writings, and it was one of the primary reasons that the United States declared independence from England. Now, England, in the meantime, was right in the middle of the Napoleonic Wars, and they didn't want to try to deal with, you know, some bunch of, you know, a bunch of crazy colonists, you know, 2,000 miles away, so they let it all slide. And so they allowed us to have our independence. But then what happened, and then they decided they didn't want to have that happen to them, so the War of 1812 was pushed by the Rothschild banking cartel to, once again, that's when they burned our capital, by the way, in D.C., they wanted in 1812 to reinstate the Rothschild banking cartel. And the reason that War of 1812 ended, the United States capitulated and put in the Bank of America. Biddle was running it. They got a 20-year charter and basically tried to enslave us once again. Then in 1832, the president, Andrew Jackson, got rid of these guys and called a bunch of vipers. He said he would root them out and he would get rid of them all. He got rid of their charter and he started printing independent currency again. And then again, the Rothschild banking cartel got involved with the War of Independence. I'm sorry, the Revolutionary War of the United States funded both the North and the South to try to split the country up to get their central bank back in. And then Lincoln started issuing. That's the Civil War. That's right. And then basically Lincoln came in and said, "We're going to start issuing greenbacks. We're not going to allow you to do this." And then they killed him. Lincoln was killed, was basically killed by a member. Now, John Wilkes Booth, who was an agent of the Rothschild banking cartel. All of this stuff is true. I can prove all of this. And what the crazy part about it is, this is history that was never taught in our school systems and history that basically has been kept on the back burner. And then it wasn't until that blithering idiot, criminal, horrible person, Woodrow Wilson, ended up basically, you know, putting in the Federal Reserve system after he's being blackmailed by Samuel Untermeyer, another Rothschild agent. All of this, every bit of it, is all Rothschilds, all the way from the beginning. And we need to understand that this is the group, these are the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Sabbatean Frankists, who are the Luciferians, who brought up and can basically continue to work and do what they did, you know, with the ancient Canaanite religions. And these are the same people, this ancient Canaanite religious death cult that runs the United States today. And that's why the U.S. is hanging by a thread. And that's why we're going the way of the former USSR, which is becoming so top-heavy in the government in Washington that we can no longer sustain this $1 trillion-a-year deficit. And the legislators have pretty much thrown the towel in and said, forget it. Just keep printing money and keep going down the road because we're having fun and we're getting rich. Unbelievable, Austin. What do you think, bud?
That's exactly right. I mean, when you see individuals like Pelosi with a net worth of, you know, pushing $150, almost $200 million, and their salary is $170,000 a year, you got to wonder where they're getting a lot of this money from. I mean, you talk about net worth almost $200 million. I mean, that's a sizable fortune, especially on $170,000 a year income. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's a nice income every single year, but you're never going to amass that type of wealth in your entire lifetime on that amount of income every single year. So you see how a lot of these things are occurring. And back to what you were saying as far as with the Cloward and Piven strategy we've talked about so much in order to destabilize the United States. We've seen now an article that just came out from Judicial Watch in Mexico that they're saying they've had an astounding 250% increase in African migrants trying to enter the United States through the southern border. They said this period last year, they had 1,507 Africans were apprehended at the U.S. border and basically brought back into Mexico. They said this time this year, we've had 5,286, a 250% increase. Now remember, these are the numbers that they're showing of individuals they legitimately apprehended and were able to stop from getting in the country. A lot of individuals and researchers that have done a far deal of history on this, even more than I have, say majority of the time it's usually about a 2-10 spread. A 2 out of 10 people get apprehended. So if there's 2 people apprehended, there were probably 8 total that ended up getting them after them. So when you start looking at these numbers, and if you actually go off that context, you start looking at the fact that we're dealing with tens of thousands of these individuals getting into the country illegally, and that's what's slowly starting to destabilize the country. And it's not legal migration that has ever hurt a country. There's no point in history that I've ever seen that legitimate legal migration with people that are trying to come in and assimilate and work hard and integrate with that society have ever compromised the values of that society. It's the ones that come in and they want free handouts and free welfare and free food and free Medicare and free housing and free everything. And then it slowly cripples that country that it's in. Every single time throughout history, this has been systemic. This isn't new. This isn't the first time it's happened. And so that is the strategy with the globalists, is to overwhelm the United States population so much with the welfare system and the population rate. I mean, you look at the population growth that we're seeing in the United States as a whole, and I mean, it's insane how fast the United States is growing, yet when you look at the American population, even blacks and whites, the population growth rate is usually 1-2 kids per family now on average. So how in the world are we growing another 5, 10, 15, 20 million people every single year? I'm very curious to see what the census is going to put out 2020, whether or not we actually get real numbers. Because I remember last time when they did the numbers, they said, you know, there's a great deal the individuals didn't apply to the census because they weren't here legally. So this is what we're starting to see now. Also, too, in other news, this is something interesting in California. In L.A., as you guys know, it's pretty much almost all firearms are potentially banned. I mean, any legitimate protection firearms are pretty much, if not unbelievably heavily regulated and registered, if not completely banned. There was a shooting last night at a Halloween party in L.A. where 3 men were killed and 9 were left injured. Essentially, 2 men ran in with masks on and opened fire on the party. Now, whether or not this was a gang-related shooting or whether or not this was a legitimate shooting, I don't know, as far as I just saw a bunch of it this morning. But what I just found ironic is that you see how the Democrats and the hardcore leftists always demand that we capitulate to gun control, and they slowly go down the slope of gun registration, gun confiscation, further gun restriction, more gun restriction, like California has capitulated to, and yet these things still happen, which go to show you criminals don't obey laws. And that's something that everybody has to understand. Just because you believe you're basically a law-abiding citizen, and you are, doesn't mean the guy around the corner that shows up with a shotgun and wants to rob you cares one bit about firearm laws. And that's a concept everybody needs to understand when it comes to further invading our Second Amendment that a lot of these globalists and these Democrats and these hardcore communists are trying to promote. Also, too, speaking of that, this is interesting down here in Florida now. Florida police and Charlotte County Sheriff's Department have been caught creating a legal list for tracking gun owners. This is quite troubling because this is, in my opinion, is being set up to be used for red flag gun confiscation. According to Florida State Law Statute 79335, it states, no state governmental agency or local government, special district, political subdivision, agent, employee, law enforcement shall knowingly and willingly keep or cause to be kept any list, record, or registry of privately owned firearms or any list, record, or registry of the owners of these firearms. Government agencies have now been found in violation of this law in Charlotte County Sheriff's Department. The department basically has come out and have been busted as all the pawnbrokers in the state of Florida are required to enter information on firearm transactions into what's called the Finder system. The system transmits the serial number only of the firearm along with the make and model to the Sheriff's Department to make sure the person pawning the gun, essentially the gun's not stolen is what it is. So if the firearm's in a list of firearms that are stolen from somebody that had it stolen from them, they call the Sheriff's Department and say, hey, here's a serial number, this firearm was stolen and somebody broke into my house. It goes on a list. When the pawn shop basically runs the serial number, it goes to the database of the sheriff to see if it's stolen, and that's it. Nothing else is supposed to occur after that. If the gun's not stolen and it's not hot, that's it. It basically washes. There was a serial number popped up. It doesn't even show, essentially, if the firearm was transferred or not. Well, apparently, they're saying that a bug, and this is the part, a bug in the system transmitted the names and addresses of the individuals that were transferring the gun, and also later on when the firearm was purchased. The Charlotte County Sheriff's Department used the information to create a list of gun owners. While the initial discovery exposed the department, according to AmmoLand, the corruption extends to another department throughout the state. According to reports by Andrew Sheet, who helped uncover the abuse of tyranny, there are emails from Charlotte County Sheriff's Department head detailing how the department shares this information with other law enforcement agencies all across the state, including Northport Police Department and Sarasota Sheriff's Department have also been implicated in this. According to the Sheets, the Sheriff's Department had no problem emailing them a complete unredacted list of all pawn shop transactions via email. AmmoLand points out this file contained not only the serial number, make and model of the firearm, but also the name of the person selling the gun, putting them at risk of robbery and violating their privacy rights. As Florida law lays out clearly, this is 100% illegal. The law even states that such a list is not even a good tool in fighting terrorism or gun violence. The good news is, even though the Charlotte County State Attorney Office found that the police department allegedly did not violate the law, because of the media exposure now has been generated, there's been a huge aspect of Florida Carry and State Attorney Amina Fox has now opened an investigation into the origin of the background. So these guys get busted compiling a list because of an alleged bug. That's what they're blaming it on now. And of course, they say, oh, well, they didn't do anything wrong. That was just a glitch. We're not going to do anything about that. Even though it's been going on for over a year, we're just going to look the other way now and pretend it didn't happen. And we're just going to scrub those names and list. Anytime the government wants to come in and start running a registration base, a name and serial number base on firearms, that is a very clear indicator that they're getting ready to start seizing firearms. Now, I'm not putting out a red alert, oh, this is about to happen right now. I'm not saying that at all. So don't twist what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, though, if this has happened here, this is happening a lot in other places as well. And this is why it's so important to understand, at least in the state of Florida, it is completely legal to buy firearms from private party sellers without any firearm transaction from an FFL dealer. State, that is completely legal in the state of Florida. So if you want to buy a firearm from your friend John, or somebody has one on Florida Gun Trader, or somebody has one on Arms List, and you go and buy a gun from him, or he buys a gun from you, that is completely legal as long as they are not a felon in the state of Florida. So be aware of that. And I always encourage people to have at least a few firearms that they have that basically have not been through the giant database rigmarole, because as much as they want to tell you they don't compile a list, every time I see this happen and these guys get busted, because this has happened repeatedly all across the country, I've seen it happen multiple times, I've heard about this happening. So when these things occur, understand that they are building a list for a very specific reason. They didn't have to have this list. All they needed was a serial number to make sure the firearm was not stolen. That's it. That's the only reason they needed the serial number. There was no need to have a name and address from the individuals involved with each firearm transaction on that list, Ed.
Well, once the people get disarmed, they can do whatever they want to do, and they can twist you every which way but loose. It's one of the Frankfurt School's teachings. They have to disarm the population. That's one of the communist mantras. It's one of the things that the Nazis did. You know, why do you think that so many Jews and Christians and whoever they wanted, political dissidents, were marched onto railroad cars and basically hauled off? I mean, it's because they weren't armed. They couldn't defend themselves. And when someone would say something, let's say, for instance, you had an alpha male and they were going to put you in a railroad car and you knew where you were going. You knew it was Auschwitz or you knew it was whatever. And you said, I'm not going to get on that train. They'd immediately kill you. They'd shoot you as an example in front of everybody in there. This is what they would do in Germany. This is what Stalin did. I mean, Stalin told his own officers that they retreated in Germany in the Battle of St. Petersburg, you know, World War II, that he would have his own officers killed, which he did by the thousands, his own officers, if they ordered to retreat or they questioned his authority. This is what a totalitarian government does. They have no limits to their cruelness or to their basically weirdness that they're willing to do. And this is what people need to understand. This is why the Second Amendment was put into our Constitution by our founders, because they knew what happens with totalitarian governments, because they just experienced with England, who didn't allow the colonists to be armed and confiscated weapons. And this is the problem that you always run into. Now remember, you got to go back and you got to look at it. We know the Revolutionary War was basically fought over money, Rothschild. We know the War of 1812 was fought over money, Rothschild. We know the Civil War was fought basically over states' rights and basically trying to get the Rothschilds to put their money back in, another Rothschild, all of it. Rothschild, 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 all the way through. The same group of Sabbatean Frankists, Luciferians, who have been doing the same battle they've been doing with us for thousands of years. The same group who started the Frankfurt School. The same group that came in and went into our universities. And now it's the same group that's teaching us everybody's got 57 different genders. You can be a cat or a starfish today if you want to be. So it's really important that we understand this. And Austin's right. When they compose these lists, there's a reason they have lists. There's a reason they want your name on a list with a gun ownership, because they want to have the ability to come respectfully ask you, you know, right, whatever, that they want to take your weapons, you know, where they come in with a doggone red flag search warrant or whatever, and they knock down the front door, break your windows out, break your doors out, and come search your house and ransack it while you're not home. You have that kind of stuff too. I mean, this is unbelievable that this is happening in the United States of America, pushed by no less than Donald Trump. Now somebody said, well, he's backing off the red flag gun laws. Yeah, where's the tweet? Where's the tweet where he says this? Why is his daughter still calling members of Congress and Senate trying to push red flag gun laws in every state? She's a hardcore communist Shabbat occultist who practices Kabbalah. That's who she is. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And so we have a group of Christians that will willingly march down into the rail cars because Donald Trump told them that he's going to take care of them. And everything's going good, good, happy, happy. Because they've been completely brainwashed by the Scofield Bible. That's just the bottom line. I can't get any more direct than that. Perfect example. Let's talk about George Soros. Rothschild cutout. Bill Gates, Rothschild cutout. Jeff Bezos, Rothschild cutout. Zuckerberg, Rothschild cutout. Let's just talk about all these guys that were funded. And I've given you examples of how they got their funding. And with that one guy, all these other guys who get their funding. You know, the guys that are pushing the vegetarian diets so that everybody eats soy and gets emasculated. All of it being pushed through Goldman Sachs and all the rest of these guys funding all of these things to the tune of $25 million. And I talked to you last week about the guy in China who was making $3 a week, who Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or one of those two gave him a $25 million loan making $3 a week. You know, Austin, years ago, I remember I had to have some – money for inventory when I started the company 40 years ago. And I went to Barnett Bank and I talked to a guy named Mr. Booker, I think his name was. And I talked to another guy named Mr. Summers here in Florida. And it was probably about $10,000. It was a lot of money back then, but it wasn't like it was the end of the world. It wasn't like I was buying a house. And I remember the bank in Auburndale told me, absolutely not. No way. The bank in Tallahassee, where I had my business based out of, they told me absolutely no way without a cosigner. You know, and that's what banks do. And the guy who makes $3 a week gets a $25 million loan. Does anybody believe this stuff? No. because he signs the paperwork that he's going to basically be a front guy for these guys to do whatever they're going to do, and that he'll never really have true ownership of any of this, but he'll be put in as a figurehead or a cutout, if you guys haven't heard that term before. And it's just that he's now supposedly the richest man in China. Yeah, $3 a week. Yeah, he's $3 a week. Okay, anybody believe this stuff? I believe that about as much as I believe that Jeffrey Epstein did, that Anna Nicole Smith married for love, that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, that artificial sweeteners are safe, that autism is not linked directly to vaccines and glyphosate. I believe, about as much as I believe all that junk. Yeah, how about that? Now, here George Soros says, I'm very proud of the enemies I have. George Rothschild Soros, basically, who was a Nazi sympathizer who turned in his fellow Jews for their money during World War II, said it was the happiest times of his life working for the Nazis. Progressive billionaire George Soros believes that the global surge in nationalism from Brexit to Trump is an aberration. Okay, and that globalism will make a resurgence after the 2020 U.S. election, or the basically communism, or the one world government. In a recent interview with the New York Times, in which he also endorsed Elizabeth Warren, the other great communist, Pocahontas, who lied to get into Harvard about her genetic ethnic origin, the 89-year-old investor opined last week that a collection of essays called In Defense of Open Society, that his brand of globalism, which he defines as an integrated open society which abides by the law, okay, which is easy to do when allied lawmakers are making them, is out of favor, and said Trump's America First approach debates over Brexit and trade wars have taken precedent. So he's saying all this is going to go away. So Soros says Trump is an aberration, and he is clearly putting his personal interests ahead of the national interest. No, he's not. He's putting the interests we're supposed to believe of the United States in ahead of other countries. That's the fact. He goes, I think it will continue to contribute to his demise next year, so I am predicting that things will turn around. Soros, of course, will be long gone by the time the globalist policies of outsourcing labor and importing non-contributory foreigner bankrupts set open societies as waves of debt-laden generations hit retirement age. Soros is another one of those guys. I just wish you'd go off and just take a big splash down in the lake of fire like John McCain did. You know, that's you say, well, gosh, Ted, I can't believe you said that. Look, guys, there's certain people out there that are so wicked and so cruel and so twisted and so compromised that why in the world are we going to sit here and lament their passing? Well, Ted, that's not really Christian of you. I agree, it's not. You're right. I'm not. You're right. I'm not being a Christian. Yeah, I hope the guy goes to hell tomorrow. Of course, Soros. I do. He's going to go there anyhow. Unless he has some kind of unbelievable born-again experience, but I don't think it's going to happen with this clown. I think he sold his soul to the devil long ago. Yeah, but so here's the thing. So that means we can't say that? Guys, the Bible tells us we shall know them by their fruit. This guy's got some bad fruit. You know, this is a guy who's been pushing this whole federal society and open borders, open immigration, and has been using Rothschild money that was given to him, supposedly a part of his fortune, to fund huge groups, millions and millions of people into Europe and millions of people into the United States. This guy. Now, mind you, if it wasn't him, the Rothschilds would just fund somebody else to do it. But they won't put their name to it. Always remember that. They don't put their name to it. They control both sides of the narrative, and they've done this for a long, long time. They did it with the Civil War. They did it with the War of Independence. They fund everything on both sides. Why? For their desired outcomes. Every once in a while, you get somebody in there like a John F. Kennedy, who, other than his horrible personal ethics, was a good president. I mean, he had just his sexual liaisons with just about everybody he could find were ridiculous, but he had a very good leadership ability, and he knew that the CIA and the Rothschild banking cartel and the breakaway civilization from 1947, all of it was destroying the country he wanted it fixed. I got to give the boy credit for that. But you very rarely get leaders like that because they're not allowed to get to that position. Remember, John F. Kennedy got pushed into place by the mob through Chicago. Let's never forget this with what his father was involved with. And his father was also a serial philanderer. And so we have to understand who these people are and what they are. But then suddenly he came off the chain, just like Hitler came off their chain in 1938 when he got rid of the currency that he was getting from the Rothschild, and he started putting debt-free currency to prevent prevent Germany from being in debt. Okay. Now Trump wants to have the Fed start, you know, going negative interest to the banks. Why would he do that? All right. what it will do, it will destroy savings accounts for people that are actually saving money and trying to be part of the, trying to prepare for their future. It will destroy their savings accounts. That's number one. Number two, why is he doing that? Because the national debt is untenable. If the Rothschilds had ever been printing money to us at 0% interest, which is what it was before 1913, we wouldn't have this horrible debt problem that we have in the United States right now. And now they're realizing that that's not tenable, that the interest payments can't be made on the national debt. He's pushing for zero or negative interest rates because it'll take the money back out of the – it will allow us to borrow money and continue to fund the system to maintain M1 liquidity without going deeper and deeper into debt because there's no interest being paid. Now, you have to pay the principal back, but the principal was put into circulation, so it's not an impossible payment job to do. This is what happened with Germany. Germany had such a huge surplus, okay, in their trade. They were sending out, you know, they were sending out so many Volkswagens and Mercedes and Porsches and all the other cars they make in Germany, Audis, all of them, into other countries, and their industry was so powerful that they weren't running deficit spending. So they had to find a way to cripple Germany. So with how they crippled Germany, they had Germany sign on to all the debt there in Greece and other parts of Eastern Europe and other parts of Europe and the EU. Why? Because they had to make sure that Germany went deeper and deeper and deeper into debt because they realized when you run deficits, you can't maintain the economy because you're constantly going deeper into a hole with your currency. This is the problem that we have in the United States with the Federal Reserve Bank right now. And George Soros is a pivotal part of that. And the Rothschilds are the cause of that. Now that they own everything, I guess they figure they can run negative interest rates. It doesn't make any difference anymore because they own all the major corporations, and we're so indebted to them via treasury bills and you know, et cetera, and bonds to other countries that, you know, they've got us on a leash that can't be broken. And maybe they're trying to extend the solvency a little bit further of the United States of America by pushing this. And of course, Donald Trump is their spokesperson as far as I'm concerned. I personally told you guys, and I'm going to tell you again, he's a sock puppet on a leash of the Rothschild banking empire and the Zionists and George Soros and all the rest of these guys that control both sides of the narrative. Austin, what do you think?
No, that's exactly what's going on here. And remember how I told you guys for the last about month, these fires that have been going on in California now, that I truly believe that has something to do, whether some of them are naturally occurring, some of them are man-made, whether some of them are based off some of the space-based weapons platforms. As weird as that sounds, when I finally did the research on it, I realized that this stuff is not off this, you know, out of reality. It's very real, as I told you guys yesterday, with houses being burnt to the ground, concrete block houses being burnt into ash, and trees and bushes and shrubs and wooden fences not even being charred around it. We saw that. We've seen the videos of that. I've talked to numerous people that have seen that. Well, now, as you guys know, there's more power outages. I've talked about that in detail. And more people are getting sick of what's going on over there, so they're leaving. And it really appears to me that they're doing everything they can for some reason to try to vacate California, especially the more rural areas of California, as reported by Fox Business now, because of the increasing incidences of wildfire. Now the state insurers are dropping hundreds of thousands of residents, and they're losing fire insurance, which basically, if you live in that area and you don't have fire insurance, you're pretty much not going to stay there anymore. After last year's devastating wildfires, allegedly, insurance companies are balking at fire coverage policy renewals for more than 350,000 residents. They said, we're seeing an increased trend across California where people at risk of wildfires are being non-renewed by their insurers. They're being dropped. And those who still can get insurance are paying unbelievably high prices for it. They said just a few years ago, the annual premium for fire insurance was around $800 to $1,000 a year. They said now, about the beginning of this year, the numbers are up to $5,000 a year premium just for fire insurance, and some of those are planning to go up even higher, and then 350,000 residents are allegedly being completely dropped, which makes it essentially unsustainable. I mean, if you have, say, a $250,000 house, which is cheap in California, and you have it basically paid for, or you have a mortgage on it, especially if you got a mortgage on it, and you have a fire now, and they drop your insurance, and you have one of these wildfires catch your house, or better yet, you have one of these whatever space-based weapons platforms, whatever machines they're using, and turns your house to ash, you file an insurance claim, they say, sorry. You know, you have a $250,000 mortgage on your house, and we dropped your insurance because you're in a high-risk area, and we're not going to insure you anymore. You're done. You got to file bankruptcy. The house, you have, your name is on the note, the $250,000 note. It's yours. And now you have no house. You're literally living in rubble. And so it's not going to be sustainable for most people to live over there anymore, especially if this occurs even more. So something's going on in California. I don't know if they're trying to vacate California. And I've heard this as rumors. I not know if this is a fact, but I've heard this, that they're trying to vacate California and make it as horrific as possible for all of the California residents living there. So a lot of people are migrating east, which is occurring. That's a fact. A lot of them are going to Colorado. A lot of them are going to Nevada. A lot of them are going to Texas. Some of them are coming to Florida. Ugh. And so what they're saying is they're trying to prep California and get it removed from as many American citizens as possible in order for China to come in and start essentially taking over California. Remember, we saw the Cal exit a couple of years ago start to take hold, and China was at the very spearhead of that along with the United Nations. That's also a fact. They wanted to go in and actually allow China to branch off from the United States and become its own entity, which, of course, China was going to fund it, and the China Central Bank was going to do the exact same thing we've seen the Central Bank do to every other country, like Ecuador, like Venezuela, like the Middle East, where they go in and they give massive amounts of loans to California in order to basically get part of their resources and part of their infrastructure, and eventually all that money is stated to have to go to other parts of infrastructure and rebuild the state, just like they did in Ecuador. Then they come in and California goes, hey, you know, that $500 billion loan you gave us, we don't have any money left, and we got to start paying it back. And China goes, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. We'll give you another $500 billion loan, and you put in more infrastructure, and we'll just kick the can down the road, and we'll defer the note. And so then eventually they take over the state. That's how it always happens. It appears to me, and that's what I've heard, is this is what's being set up for California to be given to the Chinese so they can come in and build it. Because you remember, China is massively overpopulated. It's unbelievably, horrifically polluted over there. And the population is continuing to grow rampantly still in that country. And California, in some areas, has already been started to take over by the Chinese. A lot of it in Hollywood, a lot of it in the real estate market. They've been coming over here, and that's remember they were doing the anchor babies they got busted for a couple of years ago with these midwives. They were allowing these women of these millionaire Chinamen to fly over here, have the baby right when they got here, the midwife. The baby basically gets citizenship, then they jet back out and don't even pay the bill and head back to China, and the baby still has citizenship even after they leave. This is looks to, appears to me of what's going on over there, and the reason why we're seeing these wildfires continually go rampant, blackouts occurring all over the place, the horrific homeless population over there, the absolute atrocities as far as these laws and taxes that are forcing people to leave, all of these things that are coming together. It looks to me like they're trying to get the United States set up to carve it up like a Thanksgiving turkey and give part of it over to the Chinese. At least that's my opinion, Dad, from what we're starting to see here.
Awesome. When we go to the one world government, which is the Rothschilds fantasy, which is what they're planning on doing, there's no telling how the United States will be carved up as far as their wishes and their whims. And they've proven that because of these dual citizenships in Congress, they can pretty much do whatever they want to do. And they're complete in their control of 95% of the media. They don't control us. You know, it's because we don't have sponsors. I remember Doug Hagman a few years ago told me he had a bunch of sponsors, and he was talking about certain topics which these sponsors felt as though he shouldn't talk about. And he was told by his, how should I say, his advertisement aggregator, the people who were bringing him these sponsors, that unless he stopped talking about these topics, that they would drop him, which he quickly dropped them. And the problem with all that is now, Doug, you know, you had a plea last night because he needs new equipment and his cash flow is down. So if you guys can help Doug Hagman, I would appreciate you if you do that for me. And, you know, I mean, even just to, if you guys, just as all of you listening today, if you just went to his website and gave him $1 or $5 or $10 or whatever, and this doesn't come to me. I have nothing to, I'm not getting a percentage of this. I'm not pulling a TV evangelist where I come in and generate a bunch of money for a church and I keep a big chunk of it. I'm not doing that. None of this goes to me. I remember years ago I had a pastor friend of mine, and he brought in a guy by the name – I'm not going to tell you the names. So try to avoid names. He's basically a scoundrel. Trey Smith wrote a book about him, so you guys can look that up. And it's called Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S. You can go ahead and read the book if you'd like to read it by Trey Smith. And he brought this guy in, And he was talking to the pastor about how much money he could pull in from the church and how he would give a pastor a percentage of it, etc. And it was all based on manipulation. That's how good these guys get. They can say stuff to you from the pulpit that will trigger you to give a response. I'm going to say something else. And I'm not saying they do this, but they have this technology. They can play music in certain tones which will want to make you give more money. You think, are you kidding me, Ted? No, I'm not. You know, this is why they can have their multiple jets and their multiple estates and their multiple homes. And as long as they're pushing the agenda that they're told to push, you know, Soros is coming in now and paying off churches as long as they promote the agenda that he wants pushed, including gay rights, including transgender rights, including, you know, making sure that the Christianity is inclusive, that anybody can be a Christian when they come in and they don't have to have any repentance. This is the kind of nonsense that we have going on in Christian churches right now. You know, some of the top groups like the Baptists, the Southern Baptist Convention, they've been compromised. And I go to a Baptist church, but they've been compromised in what they believe and what they don't believe any longer. I still remember years ago when basically the Southern Baptist Convention had enough of Disney and what they were doing, they boycotted Disney. And I remember I think it was Eisner was still the president of, you know, of Disney, and he came in and says, you know, we want our Southern Baptist boys back, or something similar to that. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but we want you guys to come back because it affected them on their bottom line. You know, I told you guys I wouldn't watch Lion King. I wouldn't watch it. I refuse to watch it. I mean, Disney and ABC now pretty much, and Netflix pretty much controls all media that we know of. It's all Rothschild controlled. So why are we going to support it? Why are we going to support these clowns with our money and our tax? They don't have our tax dollars turning into a tax dollar where they take so much away from us as far as this money we pay to these guys all the time. Why? They've ruined Star Wars. They've made a big political agenda out of Star Wars now. I mean, what they've done is just brought their Frankfurt School teaching to all of us. Now they have openly gay characters on the Disney Channel. Are you kidding? You guys look it up. And you say, what the heck? Why would they do that? Well, because these young children who are 2 and 3 and 4 years old, they don't know the difference. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, our kids were watching the movie Narnia. And, you know, with the wardrobe and the going into the wardrobe and going into Narnia and all this stuff. And they were young. I mean, Savannah was like 4. And Alexis was 6, and Harrison was like 8. And they were watching, the Witch in the Wardrobe and all the crazy stories that Narnia came out with. And Savannah got into this. She was like 4 years old. And one day we put up a mirror in our bedroom, you know, like a dressing mirror that opens and closes. You cover it up so it doesn't get cracked, so people don't hit it with a vacuum cleaner or whatever. It's real pretty. We did it in a remodel that we did a few years ago. And it was closed one day. And Savannah walks in. I said, this is the wardrobe in Narnia. Oh, Daddy, really? She's like 4 years old. Because remember, she's in a theta brainwave state. She was just in that movie a couple days earlier, so she thought she was the actress and they're the heroine. So I told her, I said, do you want to go to Narnia? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to open the wardrobe. She goes, Daddy, stop. Not yet. It's cold over there. There's snow. Let me get my jacket. And I went, whoa. And I thought, and I looked at her, I said, Savannah, I'm just kidding. I was just messing with you. She goes, oh, Daddy, I thought we were going to Narnia. She was 4 years old. She really believed it. This is how brainwashed a child can be to believe this kind of stuff. When you tell them this over and over, that there's 60 different sexes, that transgenderism's okay, that you don't know if you're a boy or a girl yet until you decide when you're 20 years old, that boys can wear tampons and Kotexes, that boys have periods, they start believing all of this stuff. And guys, when you lock them into this, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they'll believe it. And when they're 15 or 16, it's almost impossible, even 20, 25, it's almost impossible to extinguish that belief. That's how communism is so strong in Central and South America. That's why so many people in those areas believe in communism and are willing to fight to the death for it. Even though they know it doesn't work, it doesn't make any difference. They were told it was the right way to do, the right way to be. And they don't realize that these economic hitmen that have gone into Central and South America, taken over the resources of these countries, that they're all international banking cartel agents for the Rothschilds. That's who they are. Everything's controlled by these clowns because they control the money supply. And once they got their feet in, I started controlling the money supply. What did old Rothschild say? Nathan Rothschild, the very beginning, the first one. The guy whose name was, his actual name was Moses Bauer, and he changed his name. What he says is, I do not care who the president is, who is elected, or the leader of the country. You give me the ability to control the money, I will control the country. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And that's who these things say, well, that's what you talk about all the time. Well, yeah, yeah, just because how do you get away from that? How do you not talk about that? I mean, when you start talking about world government, you can't avoid this. And not a lot of people say, we shouldn't talk about it. I'm like, okay, why not? Well, because you get into arguments with people. I'm saying, I'm not going to get into arguments with people. I don't care. I'm just going to, I'm going to do the best I possibly can, to the best of my abilities as often as I possibly can, and make people believe as much the way that I believe as often as I can, because I've done so much research. By the way, Kanye West is really coming in now and doing some things. He's blasting food stamps. He's doing no holes as far as what Christianity is all about who's running the world. Don't you guys remember, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, when he came off his chain and had to be hospitalized because he started talking about chemtrails and the New World Order and what was going on at one of his concerts in front of tens of thousands of people, and they basically couldn't keep the muzzle on him. So I got to give the guy kudos. I personally believe at this point, until I see something different, that he's truly born again and truly saved, and he's really trying to make a difference. I think that he saw behind the curtain, and he didn't like what he saw. He finally got convicted to the Holy Spirit, probably because his grandma had raised him and kept him in church, that now he realizes that what he was doing and what he was saying was wrong, and he wants to correct it. That's why he said he's only doing Christian music now. By the way, Deutsche Bank has tumbled. You know, total profit margins have plummeted by 73%, and everybody's saying how bad Deutsche Bank is. Again, it's one of these things. You got to watch Deutsche Bank. It's the largest bank in Europe. And if it comes down, it's going to come down with a giant thud that's going to hit the entire world's markets. It's going to happen very, very, very quickly if it does happen. Just be aware of what's going on with all of this stuff. By the way, Israeli embassies around the world are shutting down as diplomats and military attachés strike. Now, to me, this is very weird. Foreign and defense ministries unite in long simmering dispute with Treasury over bid to retroactively cut envoys' expense stipends and no consular services for the Israelis abroad. To me, this has got a deeper story lined up with it. I mean, why in the world are they shutting these things at home? Are they bringing their foreign diplomats back to Israel? Are they preparing for something in which they don't want these foreign diplomats to be in other countries and they don't want to make that announcement? What do they know that we don't know, that they're shutting down their embassies and saying, hey, we don't have the money to do this, when we're giving them, what, $30,000 per family in basically aid every year? Something's not right here. Something is really, really messed up. By the way, the mainstream media, this is an article from Greg Hunter with USA Watchdog. I like Greg. Mainstream media co-conspirators with deep state treason. And what's happening now, we're starting to see, and this is an article by Hunter. He says, renowned author and journalist James Howard thinks that what is happening for the last few years with the mainstream media's coverage of President Trump's borders on criminal activity, and Kushner explains, what I am waiting for is if and when indictments come down for Mr. Barr and Mr. Durham, I'm wondering whether the editors and publishers of the Washington Post and New York Times and the producers of CNBC are going to be named as unindicted co-conspirators in this effort to gaslight the country and really stage a coup to remove the president and to nullify the 2016 election. Guys, I'm telling you that Donald Trump, I'm going to say this again, Donald Trump will probably be impeached in the House, probably. I don't know for sure about that. Depends on how many of them want to go on the record of impeaching a sitting president to try to undo the 2016 election. But it'll never get pushed through the Senate unless the senators are compromised on videotape. Here we go, on videotape. Now, that'll give us a President Pence, who's been long known as a globalist. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe that Trump's going to re-win the 2020 election. I believe all of the stuff that's being done right now through the mainstream media, Rothschild-controlled, is being done to divide our country, to create basically the left-right paradigm to such an extent that they can trigger an event and cause a civil war. Now, they're going to have to trigger the event. They're going to have to promote it. They can say, oh, today in Cincinnati, we had skirmishes between left and right extremists. You know, 200 people shot, 200 people killed. Civil war is breaking out all over the country. You go to Cincinnati and nothing's happening.
Yep.
It's like, you know, crickets. And all of a sudden they're saying, oh, yeah, we had all, you know, but, oh, they wouldn't do that, right? Well, how about Vegas? Nobody even knows what happened with Vegas. Nobody can even tell you what happened with Vegas. All we know is that the videotape that was forced to be released by the Nevada Supreme Court showed that when they went into the room, the windows weren't broken out. How do you shoot through closed glass windows? Nobody talked about it on the mainstream media. They can make the dog and the tail wag each other whenever they want to do it. How do we know that anything with this doggone, this thing this past weekend when this terrorist was killed, how do we know that any of it's true? Were you there? Russia says none of it's true. They said their S-400 missile systems detected no airplanes, no helicopters, nothing over that corridor which is being controlled by the S-400 systems. They said it's complete and total propaganda. That's what they're saying. So how do we know they don't start a civil war that never happens, declare martial law, which is going to happen, okay, and start coming door to door with the list that Austin talked about earlier to take our weapons and do whatever they want to do with what's left of the United States of America? Guys, we've got to stand vigilant. And remember what William Casey said, they'll know their job in the CIA is done when everybody believes all the disinformation that was put out, all the lies. Guys, it's important that we understand that when we're not there, remember a couple of years ago, guys, they were talking about all of the problems on the borders with Germany and Poland and Czechoslovakia and all that kind of stuff, and how they were having all this rioting at the borders and all this. And I said, okay, I've had it. I'm going over there. Went over there. Crickets. Crickets. Drove through the border checkpoint. There were guards there. There were troops there. They were there. Never even slowed us down. Just waved us on. No skirmishes. No fighting. Nothing they said was real. When Austin and I, on the news here in Florida, we're told at the Gay Pulse nightclub in Orlando that there was a shootout from the front door and that the place was riddled with bullets from the police shooting at the guy with an automatic weapon who was hiding behind the front doors. We went over there. There wasn't one bullet hole. There wasn't one hole in the PVC fences. There wasn't one chip in the stucco. There was no holes at all. And then we talked to two people who were there who were basically under a gag order from the FBI. They told us that. Two police officers wouldn't say anything to us. And then we found another police officer, I think, was sitting in a Dodge Ram truck with the air running. And we walked up and talked to him. He's by himself. And he told us, he goes, everything you've been told about what happened here is a lie. And I'm like, whoa. So here they are. They're playing the news stories against us and what they want to make us to believe. Guys, it's what Goebbels taught Germany to do with Hitler. They were talking about super weapons and fight to the last man while Hitler was already hanging out on a submarine headed to Argentina to live in opulence for the next 17 years while he had the children fight to death in Berlin. Man had no honor. None. My gosh. Watch the movie The Grey Wolf. See what it says. Watch the movie. See if you stomach it. I made it through about an hour of it. I had to turn it off. I couldn't take it anymore. It was horrible. Talked about him in Argentina and the hundreds of eyewitnesses who worked with him and waited on him and what he did, how he lived into opulence and luxury down there. Well, he had the children fight to death in Germany. Come on, guys. They can make you believe anything you want to believe by the media and by pumping it into your households every single night while you're in a theta brainwave state. People don't want to question the narrative. You got to question the narrative. If there's not proof, why are you believing it? I'll say one thing that's true. I've been there. Germany is overwhelmed by foreigners. Overwhelmed. London, it's hard to find anybody who even speaks English in London, especially at the airports, unless they're waiting on you behind the desk at the airlines. They don't speak English. All the people that are working in the bars and the restaurants and in the lounges, nobody speaks English over there. You go downtown London, you can't even find people to speak English anymore. I'll tell you that's true because I've seen it. Now, I was going to go to Sweden last year, and I was also going to go down to Venezuela, and I was asked by a bunch of you guys emailed me, begged me please not to go to Venezuela. I know what's going on with Venezuela. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you one more time, because you don't remember, I talked about this a couple years ago. The reason that Venezuela is in the crunch crash that it is, one of the largest oil reserves in the world, is because the international banking cartels have pulled the funding to run the oil reserves and run the wells and to process the petroleum from the government so they go bankrupt, and this happens in Venezuela. The international, that's Rothschild again, because they want to control the largest oil reserves in the world. They want a central bank in there that's Rothschild control. So they just they dried up their credit. They dried up their cash. They can't run their industry now. That's what's going on with Venezuela, because Chavez had the audacity, before they killed him, to ask for his gold back. Yeah, he wanted to get rid of their funny money. Guys, this is some crazy stuff that's going on all around the world, and it never stops. And as long as they control the mainstream media, they control the heartbeat of the United States. Austin, what do you think?
That's exactly what's going on. And remember, just a few short weeks ago, World News Tonight and Good Morning America on ABC played footage blatantly stating that the Turkish forces were invading civilian cities in Syria and basically firebombing them and shooting them with basically a full-on raid, only to find out 2 days later, because of investigative journalists, that that video footage was from Knob Creek in Kentucky in 2017, machine gun shoot. Now, think about this for a second. They got busted, and then they retracted it. They played it on two episodes, and multiple other stations, by the way, this wasn't talked about, multiple other stations reported on it and basically regurgled what they talked about on ABC Sunday and Monday. What would have happened, and how would the narrative changed if nobody would have busted them in alternative media and everybody would have thought it was continually going on and they kept replaying the footage over and over and over and over and over again all week? Think about that for a second. Because everybody goes, well, you know, they made a mistake on it. Really? They made a mistake? How do you get footage from 2 years ago from a private residence machine gun shoot in Kentucky and accidentally put that together as active footage that's currently going on right now in Syria, basically with a full-blown attack on by Turkish elements? How does that happen? How do you possibly screw up that royally big when you're one of the biggest mainstream news outlets in the entire country? I mean, that wasn't an accidental, oh, we read an article that somebody talked about, or, oh, we got a wrong source on that. You blatantly got footage. Where'd the footage come from? Knob Creek? With the footage just sitting around on somebody's desk and they go, oh, this happens to be Syria. Don't look at it. Don't wonder what's going on with it. And the funny thing about it is, too, the footage was even doctored. It was low-lighted and brought in to make grainier so it looked like you couldn't see what was going on. When they put them over side-by-side with the actual footage from the original shoot and the footage that ABC showed, you could see that it was altered with the hue and the contrast and the saturation in it. So best believe they want you to believe what they want you to believe, and they can control the narrative under almost any circumstances. And guys, thank you again for the support. Thank you for supporting the Hagmann Show. We really do appreciate everything you guys are doing for the alternative media right now. This is why we keep doing it, to expose this stuff, because without alternative media, that would have never gotten exposed on Knob Creek, and I truly believe that. And when ABC got busted for it, it showed the American population, at least the ones that were even halfway awake, that the mainstream media is straight up designed to be here for propaganda and rhetoric for the deep state and the bankers. And there's no other explanation on when we see what's going on right now. So when you see a lot of this stuff, take it with a grain of salt until you can figure out what's really going on. Just like I told you and Dad said for the last 2 days about this whole incident in Syria with this terrorist situation that they allegedly took out and he killed himself. Anyways, thank you again for the support. Be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. And again, if you guys need anything, email us or call us, 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay sharp, stay alert, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow as always.